Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 63 for October 22nd, 2006. Back in the studio after last week's visit to Whiskey Live in Toronto. Coming up in a few minutes.
It was a real struggle because, as we quickly discovered, we are the first and only ones to do this. So every person we spoke to in every government department, the first reaction was, you can't do this. When we actually had our shipment, our first shipment, arrive here in Canada, it was a struggle. It was held in customs. The broker didn't know how to deal with it because nobody's done it before. So it's been a bumpy ride.
That's Barry Bernstein, and if you've ever thought that it would be fun to get into the whiskey business and bottle whiskeys under your own label, Barry and his partner Barry Steen have a story for you. We'll hear that story in a few minutes, but first, let's look at the news. Kentucky's Buffalo Trace Distillery has received yet another honor. This past week, Wine Enthusiast magazine named Buffalo Trace as its Distiller of the Year for 2006. That follows Distiller of the Year awards from Malt Advocate magazine last November and Whiskey magazine this spring. I'll have more on this in the next episode of Whiskey Cast. Just down the road, they're celebrating a milestone at Woodford Reserve Distillery.
We're having our 10th birthday party for the brand. 10 years ago, Woodford was launched. First year was Kentucky only. Now we're in 34 nations.
Master distiller Chris Morris is also marking the last of a rare whiskey from Woodford Reserve. Last year, the distillery unveiled a four-grain whiskey made from corn, rye, wheat, and barley.
We did release our last batch of four-grain October the 2nd, 9,360 bottles, and that is the last period. No more.
Not going to do another four-grain after this?
No, because what we made this last batch was made 7 years ago, and I, for one, have not made a drop since then, so there is no more.
By the way, if you're into horse racing, Woodford Reserve Stables has added a new horse to its lineup. Angel's Share will be carrying the Woodford Reserve colors at racetracks around the U.S. If you've ever tasted Dewar's and wanted to try the single malt that gives it its unique flavor, that's been a struggle until now. Since 1898, most of Aberfeldy Distillery's production has gone straight into Dewar's, with a little held aside for single malt use, but even that's been limited to U.K. distribution for the most part. Now, Dewar's has decided to start exporting Aberfeldy into the U.S.
It's a Highland whiskey, and you'll find Aberfeldy single malts right in the central highlands of Scotland, and actually geographically in the centre of Scotland, in the central highlands. It's unlike any other Highland whiskey out there. What you'll find is you have this lovely heather honey character. You'll also get this nice sort of fruitiness of pineapple, but also Seville oranges as well. It really is quite unique. It's very mouth-coating, it's perfectly balanced, and it's got a great medium to long finish.
Karen Fullerton of Dewar's says the U.S. will get 12- and 21-year-old expressions of Aberfeldy, and while it's working its way into stores this month, it'll make its unofficial debut at Whiskey Fest New York on November 6th. Now for the latest on the story that just won't go away. White & Mackay is still negotiating with Indian spirits mogul Vijay Mallya over one of the following: a complete buyout of White & Mackay, but at last word they're still a couple of hundred million pounds apart; a partial buyout of some of White & Mackay's brands and facilities; or, number three, some type of distribution agreement that would let Mallya distribute White & Mackay brands in India. Personally, I'm not going to report any more on this until a deal is actually signed. Finally, The Scotsman is reporting that what could be the world's oldest whiskey will go on the auction block at Bonhams in London next month. The whiskey is reported to be from Glenavon Distillery at Ballindalloch in Speyside. Now, Glenavon closed sometime in the 1850s. The bottle is owned by a woman from Northern Ireland and says it's been in her family for generations. Now, coming up on the calendar of events, the U.S. branch of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society has tasting dinners this week in Washington and Philadelphia. This coming weekend is the Whiskey Weekend Bremen 2006 in Bremen, Germany. Next week is the FNB Whiskey Live Festival in Cape Town, South Africa, the Oslo Whiskey Festival in Norway, and the Hopscotch Festival in Vancouver, British Columbia. Again, I'll be on the road November 6th for Whiskey Fest in New York City, and you'll find a complete calendar of events at www.whiskeycast.com. Admit it now, you've probably sat around with friends and after a few drams talked about how much fun it would be to get into the whiskey business. Even have your own bottlings, maybe even with your name on the bottle. Barry Steen and Barry Bernstein did that for years, and while they'll never be the Barry Brothers of Barry Brothers and Rudd fame in London, these guys are close enough that they could be brothers. They live near each other, just outside Toronto. Their sons are the same ages, their names are almost identical, and they share a passion for scotch. In fact, Barry Bernstein says that passion is so strong that the Liquor Control Board of Ontario just couldn't satisfy it.
We started on the track of how do we source unique scotch that's not available here in Ontario? And if you know the LCBO here in Ontario, there isn't a lot of variety for real scotch lovers. So we looked at what was involved in importing a bottled product and realized it could be done, but as a business, we couldn't make money at it. So as we sort of went down that road and tried to figure out exactly what would be involved in bottling, we became more and more enthralled with the idea. We discovered that there are no other independent bottlers in Canada. So we decided to go down that road.
And it was a long road. Barry Bernstein was a software engineer. Barry Steen managed distribution for a large Canadian company. And he says they're now fluent in Canadian liquor laws.
Importing any type of alcohol into Canada in bulk requires federal licenses. So that involves the Excise Act, the Importation of Intoxicating Liquors Act, and I forget the last one. The Food and Drug Act. Each one is several inches thick. It required, you know, we started reading and going through the processes of what's involved with getting these licenses. And initial licenses took us close to a year to secure and required us to do some initial financial outlays to do that. We had to actually have rented facilities that were approved as a bonded facility. And once we received our initial licenses for importation, then the rest of the licenses went from there. So going through those two licenses, getting our spirits license and our excise bonded warehouse license is federal. And then once we had those, we could go and get our manufacturer's license, which is an Ontario license, which allows us to then sell our product to the LCBO. It's the most expensive license we had to purchase, and it's part of the Alcohol and Gaming Commission of Ontario's process. So we have that license, and that was about a year and a half in the process to get those three licenses. That allowed us to import bulk alcohol, bottle it in a bonded facility, and then be able to market it to Ontario.
So you had to buy a license in order from the province of Ontario in order to be able to sell alcohol to the provincial agency that controls liquor sales.
That's right. That's right. And the only place we could sell it in the province is to the LCBO. And the licensing body is the AGCO.
That sounds like a bureaucratic nightmare. Has it been worth it?
It has. Finally, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and now that we have product on the shelf, not here in Ontario yet, but out west.
Let's take a break from the bureaucracy for a moment and talk about the whiskies that Barry and Barry are selling under the Premium Bottlers label.
There's three 10-year-olds and two 12s. We have a 10-year-old Auchentoshan, a 10-year-old Scapa, and a 10-year-old Strathyla. Our 12-year-olds are a Glenlossie and a Mortlach. They're all bottled at 46%, which is an ideal strength for non-chill filtered product, which ours is not. We add no coloring to our products. And that's what's currently available. And as Barry said, it is out west now and will be available shortly, or is available now through the private ordering department at the LCBO, but it's not in their general listings or their vintage listings at their stores yet.
They're all single cask bottlings, and the second batch is on its way from Scotland now.
We're bringing in a Linkwood, a 10-year-old, a Blair Athol, which is an 11-year-old, a Ben Rhines, which is a 12-year-old, and a Dufftown, also 12. All are finished in cherry butts, which is also unique.
Remember, these guys live in Ontario, but the only place you can get their whiskeys right now is in Alberta, about 1,000 miles away, where the liquor stores are private and the owners are ecstatic.
It's almost instantaneous. When we're working through an agent out there, and when they took the product around to some of the key liquor stores, and again, it's privately run liquor stores in Alberta, so it's a little bit different, but when they took those to the liquor stores, they were ecstatic. Love the taste, love the design, the shape, everything that we have put together for our products, and basically instantly said that they would be purchasing as soon as we could get the product out into the distribution chain. We are being focused and featured at Whiskey in the Warehouse, Willow Park, and we're also displayed at the Co-op Stores show, which is happening in Calgary again in November. So those are happening very quickly, very immediately, and that's just because of the response that we've received to having these unique scotches available to them. In addition, when we have met with the LCBO and we've taken our product in, they were very pleased with what it looks like, the style, the taste. Everything was right. We just missed the buying cycle by, you know, a few months, a time frame. So they weren't prepared to, you know, there's no way for them to slot us in without going through their standard buying cycle.
Does the fact that it's also a Canadian company help in getting it into the stores and getting it into the LCBO and the other warehouses?
For sure it does, for sure. They commented on that they're looking for a Canadian product. It was intriguing to them. I mean, it's a Canadian product that's really not Canadian, so you know, it appeals to the target market, the Scotch drinkers. It appeals to the LCBO because it is Canadian in that it's bottled, manufactured here.
Here's the problem. The LCBO makes its buying decisions once a year, in March, for retail sales in October. That means premium bottlers' whiskies won't be on the LCBO shelves until next October. Michael Riley is the spirits director for the LCBO.
There's a process that people have to, and it's a good marketing plan, a good backup plan, how they're going to promote the product, how they're going to get their arms and legs on the street, because it's harder to stay in the stores because than get in the stores, I think.
But fear not, Ontario. Three of the premium bottlers' whiskies will make their Toronto debut this week at the monthly tasting dinner of the Companions of the Quaitch. It's Canada's leading whiskey society, and President Ed Patrick says Barry and Barry's contribution to whiskey lovers in Canada is a blessing.
What it does, it gives us an advantage now that we haven't had before, particularly in Ontario, to have bulk shipments of single malt scotch coming in here, being bottled locally and made available in a much faster time frame than was possible before.
How hard was it before to get the really rare malts?
It was extremely difficult. We used private ordering, and we would put in an order. It would take 5 days to process the paperwork. The order would go to Scotland. It would take 6 days for a ship to bring the product in from Scotland to Halifax or Montreal. And then it would take 11 weeks for it to go through the LCBO maze before we actually received it in our hands. So there's 3 months waiting for a precious cargo that took 6 days to arrive on our shores.
It's taken almost 3 years to get to this point, but the guys agree they wouldn't trade places with anyone.
Barry and I get to go into our office and our facility and sit down and say, you know, this is the greatest job in the world. We get to do exactly what we want to do. Scotch has been our passion for many, many years as consumers, and now we get to go into the office, do what we want to do, sit down with a dram on our desk at whatever time of the day we particularly want to.
After all, there are tasting notes to be written. Finally, I'd like to thank everyone in Toronto for their hospitality last weekend. If you ever get a chance to visit Toronto, I guarantee you'll love it. And don't get me wrong, the LCBO is a bureaucracy, but it does get a few things right. In an upcoming episode, I'll take you to what may be the world's largest liquor store, one where you can also try before you buy. But next time around, the Glenlivet's Jim Crile gives us the highlights of his 40 years at the still.
My father really wasn't much of a drinker at all. My grandfather, I think I must have had some of his genes, because he liked a good dram. He enjoyed a good few whiskeys in his time.
Jim Cryle on the next episode of Whiskey Cast. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.